Hello and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 208. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. We're in mid to late September now. I was worried that, you know, the weather might be turning a little bit, but that was just a false alarm.
Well, it is. I mean, it's not.
I know. It's not as hot, but it's still warm enough that you can, you know, enjoy life before. You know, you have to start really bundling up and, yep. You know, grabbing all the furs possible. So I'm pretty happy about that. Just another standard week in the office for me and another standard work from home week for you, Mary.
Yep.
But on sad news, we had to say goodbye to some of our friends that were moving to San Francisco this week. So we got to, you know, just hang out a couple times. And it's gonna be sad, but we're gonna visit them. And then you had some big stuff this weekend as well, Mary.
Yeah, this weekend was the Hydrocephalus Walk, and it's the 12th year of the walk. And this year, Team Mary raised almost $18,000, and overall, the walk has raised like about $85,000, although, donations can keep coming in until the end of the year. So there was, I think, 95 different donors to Team Mary, which is amazing. And I think we had the largest crowd of people at the walk. I mean, compared to all the other teams, but also compared to other years of Team Mary as well. And it was like perfect weather. We've had years when it's been too hot. We've had years when it, like one year when it rained really hard. So, but this year was like perfect weather. Not too hot, not too cold. It went really well.
Yes, I agree. That was super fun to see everyone that, you know, this is just a certain time of the year where like everyone or a lot of people that we know shows up and basically you can catch up with them and get a good walk out of it as well.
Yeah. And later that day, you and I went to Asadero, favorite restaurant in Ballard, and I got some steak tacos. You got a steak burger. So good.
Yes. And a baked potato, which unfortunately, I don't know why I ordered a baked potato as a side, but this baked potato was huge. So I was just like, I can't eat this. I'm sorry. So they gave me the baked potato on the plate and then uneaten and untouched. I'm like, I'm going to need a box, but that's okay.
I was so confused when you ordered it because we had already ordered some jalapeno poppers because we always do. And then I'm like, I'll have the steak tacos. And then you're like, I'll have the steak burger. And then the guy's like, do you want any sides? And you're like, yeah, sure. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I got upselled. That's exactly what happened. I got
that doesn't happen to you very often.
Bamboozled into buying something.
I mean, it was tasty when I tasted a few bites of it, and it was very good. But I don't know why you bought it.
I don't either, Barry. I'm still dumbfounded over it, but I'm actually pretty happy because it was very good. And yeah. You know, I got a free meal the next day out of it.
Free? Yeah, you pay for it, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday we watched the Seahawks game and it was pretty boring and the Seahawks lost to the 49ers. And we watched with some friends, so that was fun, but the game itself was not good.
No, it was not good at all. We'll go into that in a little bit.
Yeah. During the game, you know, so boring. We kind of talked about our favorite, reality dating shows instead. And if anyone is interested in how I think the whole group decided on the top show to watch is Bachelor in Paradise. And that actually starts next week. So if you're interested, watch Bachelor in Paradise. Second best is Love is Blind. That is on Netflix and the new season is starting in October. And then the third favorite was The Ultimatum. I think we've talked about it before, but that one is where like there's two people in a relationship, but one of them wants to get married, but the other one doesn't. And so they do like an experiment and they like swap partners to see if it's the right person for them or not. There's only been one season of that, but that's also on Netflix. I'm not sure when the next season comes out. And then last but not least, The Bachelor / The Bachelorette are the fourth favorite. But the thing is for those shows, you need to watch both of them for Bachelor in Paradise to make more sense. Cause all the people from those shows or some of the people from those shows go on Bachelor in Paradise. It's their second chance at finding love on TV, basically. But yeah.
Or third
or fourth or however many times they've been on reality dating shows. But yeah, in case you were interested, that's what we decided on because the Seahawks were playing terribly.
Yes, they were atrocious, quite frankly. But we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah. And then our first topic is actually Shark Tank season 14 is starting this Friday. And so we're going to go over the top 8 selling Shark Tank products. So yeah, Shark Tank has been on since August 2009. So about 13 years, a little over 13 years, actually. So almost half of our lives, which is crazy. I bought quite a few Shark Tank products over the years. They've had 295 episodes, one of my favorite shows. And yeah, I'm going to go over some of the best products. So go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. So we're going to count down from the top 8. So for number 8, we have the Sleep Styler. And this product is a heat-free hair rollers created from memory foam to use while sleeping. So basically you could, you know, style while
curl your hair.
Yeah. While you're asleep, you know, you don't have to do it when you're awake. This was invented by Lori, or invested was the investor was Lori. And she invested $75,000 for a 25% stake in the company. And right now the sales are at more than $100 million.
Pretty good.
So that's pretty good.
Number 7 is the Books. It's an online seller of flowers, like bouquets. It's like the name, the Books, an online seller of flowers that partners with eco-friendly farms. Actually, none of the founders, no one actually invested when they were on the show, but then Robert invested 3 years later after purchasing flowers from the Books for his wedding. He realized, oh, actually it is a good company. I should invest. And as of right now, they've made over $100 million too.
That is very good. It's very good. Up next, we have Tipsy Elves. Now, it has nothing to do with alcohol. This is a holiday themed apparel in the form of ugly Christmas sweaters. And you may think, why would anyone want to invest in this? But Robert actually did. He invested $100,000 for a 10% stake in the company. And Tipsy Elves has raked in $900,000 a year in sales before appearing on Shark Tank. So that's pretty good. And then has generated $125 million in sales as of now.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
a huge growth.
Yeah.
So, and I've never bought anything from them, but I've been on their website. And, you know, like you said, it started with ugly Christmas sweaters, but now they've gone on to like ugly any holiday sweaters or like even like adult onesies and brand like costumes, essentially.
That's so bad.
Yeah, they're very highly obnoxious, ugly sweaters, but they're pretty funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Number 5 is the Original Comfy. It's a wearable blanket with a hood. It's basically a gigantic sweatshirt, but it's made out of like blanket material. It reminds me a lot of the Snuggie. And Barbara invested in this one, $50,000 for a 30% stake. And so far it's made $150 million.
That's pretty good. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Up next we have Simply Fit Board. And the product is an exercise board that you stand on and twist. That sounds kind of dangerous.
Those used to be sold like everywhere. I haven't seen them in a long time, but like used to be everywhere. They do sound very dangerous. Actually, one of my old coworkers had one at work.
Really?
But it was never used.
Okay. So Lori was the investor. She invested $125,000 for a 20% stake in the company. And the sales aspect is more than $160 million. And just within 24 hours after that Shark Tank episode aired, the company raked in an additional $1.25 million in sales.
Wow.
So that's the power of Shark Tank.
I think the board is like $40 or $50. So people are like, oh, watch on TV. They're like, oh, I can, you know, get fit by standing on this board and twisting for $40 to $50. Well, let's buy it for
That just sounds so dangerous. And I feel like I get bored on it.
But if you're like working, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Number 3 is the Squatty Potty. It's a personal care company best known for its toilet stool, which is designed to promote easier bowel movements. Lori also invested in this one, $350,000 for a 10% stake. And the company created a viral video in 2015 and generated $20 million in sales that year, garnering attention of Dr. Oz, Howard Stern, and other celebrities. And they have an overall lifetime sales of $175 million now.
Wow. That is very good. And now up next, I believe you have this product.
I do have the Scrub Daddy.
The Scrub Daddy. Yeah. It's a reusable, they put super sponge in the shape of a smiley face that gets firm in cold water and then soft in warm water. And it's been lab tested to rinse clear of debris and resist odor for up to 2 weeks. And it's an ergonomic shape, because it's designed to clean both sides of kitchen utensils at once.
There's a smile, it's sort of like a face in the sponge.
You can put
like a spoon in the smile part of it to clean both sides of the spoon at once.
Yes. So you save yourself time from having to scrub both sides individually. You can do it all at once. But Lori jumped at this bit. She invested $200,000 for a 20% stake in the company. And the sales are $209 million before Shark Tank. And then the company has had...
No. It had $209 million now, but before the company had 100,000 in sales.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So before it only had 100,000, but now it has $209 million. So that is a lot of explosion of growth, quite frankly. But yeah, that is really cool.
And then I almost exclusively wear this product on my feet at all times. The Bombas, my favorite socks, highly recommend. They're mostly socks, and they've recently also started making t-shirts too. But basically for every item purchased, the company donates an item to organizations that help homeless people. And it's donated more than 50 million items to more than 3,500 community organizations to date. And Damon John invested in this one, $200,000 for 17.5% stake. They were inspired, creators were inspired to create Bombas after discovering that socks were the most needed item at homeless shelters. And now their lifetime sales have reached over $225 million.
That's really good. I also have some Bombas as well. And I will attest they are very good socks.
Mm-hmm. And here were also a few products that were rejected on Shark Tank, but then later made millions. One of them is the Ring doorbell. It integrates with a smartphone and a camera and allows you to see who is at your door when you arrive. It was rejected on Shark Tank, but it's become a $1 billion company thanks to acquisition by Amazon. So essentially this would be the highest, the best selling product on Shark Tank, but no one invested, none of the sharks invested. So they really, really lost out. And actually the creator of the Ring doorbell was a guest shark on Shark Tank years later. So that's pretty funny.
That is pretty good. It's the full circle.
Another one that was rejected on Shark Tank, but made a lot of money later is Coffee Meets Bagel. It is a dating app which matches users based on Facebook connections and includes a discount for a coffee or bagel on the date. Mark Cuban offered $30 million for the company, but the three founders walked away from the deal. And after appearing on the show, the company's raised $23.2 million and has over 11 million users on the app.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Last but not least, seafood burger company Chef Big Shake was also unsuccessful in the show. They asked for $200,000 for a 25% stake in the company. But since appearing in 2011, the company sales jumped from $30,000 to an estimated $5 million in 2012. So 1 year later, went from $30,000 to $5 million. I've never heard of it.
That's a lot.
But it must not be in our area. But that's pretty cool. So I'm excited to see what cool things are going to be on Shark Tank this season. So again, the new season starting this Friday. So I'll be tuning in.
There you go. I haven't watched Shark Tank every episode, but you're ready for every episode to come out.
I mean, I don't know if I've seen every single episode, but I like to watch the new episodes.
But you're aware of when the episodes are coming out.
Yeah.
That's better than me.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to try out a new perfume or cologne and want more than the small sample, but less than the full bottle? Scentbird is a fragrant subscription service with a mission to empower each and every person to express themselves through scent. Here's how it works. Take a fragrance quiz, choose from their wide variety, and add what you want to try to your queue. With each order, you'll be sent a vial of fragrance from your queue to try for the month. Get your second month of Scentbird free by going to sasstorysarcasm.com/scentbird. That's S-C-E-N-T-B-I-R-D. Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sasstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today.
We also thought we'd give an update on the Mariners as they still have a chance to be in the playoffs. There's a 99.3% chance that they'll make it the playoffs, which is down from, I think, 2 weeks ago when we podcasted about this. And we said there's a 99.5% chance. So it's going slightly down in their most recent games against the Angels. They lost 3 out of 4. So they did win today 9-1. But yeah, they've been pretty much equally winning and losing in the last few games, last like 15 games, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah. So no need to fret. We're still in the 99 percentile of hitting the playoffs. And yeah, like you said, we basically had about a 50% win rate around the last 10 games or so, which is fine. Because the teams below us had less than that. So we're fine with that. We just have to basically at this point coast into the postseason without getting anyone injured or hurt, because we almost statistically guaranteed the fact that we're going to make the playoffs, and just start mentally preparing for the playoff games, which is going to be super cool. I can't even remember the last time I was at, like, you know, the Mariners made the playoffs. I don't even know if I was alive then.
It's been a really, like, 21 years at least.
Yeah. Okay. I was alive.
And then also the Seahawks have started, they've played 2 games so far this season. Like we said, we watched the Seahawks game yesterday and also last week. The first game they were playing against the Broncos, which, you know, Russell Wilson was just traded to the Broncos. Luckily we beat them by 1 point at Lumen Field at home. So that was pretty nice. But then yesterday, not so good. But on the bright side, I did, throughout watching the game, I noticed some very unique names, including on our team, Kobe Bryant, not to be confused with the basketball player. He spells his name C-O-B-Y.
Yeah.
He actually was named after the late NBA Hall of Famer, and his parents changed the spelling for uniqueness. He's 23, and so he was born less than a year before the Lakers won the 2000 NBA championship led by Kobe Bryant.
And that's really neat.
Also, this one's not quite as like unique, but there is a player named Michael Jackson. Just interesting. Again, that one's not quite as unique, but I was like, Kobe Bryant was on the screen. I was like,
These are the things you pick up in the middle of a football game, Mary.
When they're not scoring, these are, I have to look at their names instead.
Yeah, which is fine. We unfortunately played against the 49ers and we did not do that well. A lot of people are saying this is going to be a rough season for the Seahawks, and like a rebuilding year. So we lost 27-7. And honestly, we were pretty lucky to get the 7. It was very neat. Like, the 49ers were going to kick a field goal and one of our players managed to somehow put his hand in front of the ball being kicked and returned it all the way to the other end of the field. And we got 7 points on the board, but
if that hadn't happened, I can guarantee you, we would have not scored any points.
Yeah.
They happened to intercept the ball and then just ran straight down the field with, but you know, if we had to go down by down,
we would not have scored any points.
Right, right. And I think the stat that was pretty cringeworthy was we averaged 2.6 yards per carry. Ugh,
that's
so
bad.
So you're definitely not going to go that far. And overall, we got 36 yards by running the ball versus the 49ers, 189 yards. So we're struggling, but you know, maybe this was just, you know, a jitter, you know, the first road game.
I don't think it's a jitter.
I don't know what's going on. I know we did play pretty bad. And this, I'm just going to cringe for whoever we're playing next. Hopefully it's a home game. I think it is a home game. So let's hope that we could, you know, somehow manage to at least win half of our games.
Well, we have to win on the road as well. Like, we can't just be like, oh, we lost because we're on the road. Like,
that is true. That is true. But, hey, we've got, you know, we have a 50% record right now. So you got to take it while you can.
And then lastly, we wanted to talk about some interesting facts about Queen Elizabeth II. She passed away on September 8th of this year, so about 11 days ago. And I mean, I didn't really know that much about her, to be honest, but she was 96 and she was the queen for just over 70 years, which is such a long time. But Brian found this article with a bunch of unique facts. So I'll just start off with the first one. She actually bought her wedding dress with World War II ration coupons. She purchased the material for her wedding dress using the coupons and had to return donations from women around the UK.
Yep. And then she was a big fan of horses. Her first horse was called Peggy. She was given her first horse, a Shetland pony, by her grandfather, King George V, who has also been, and she's been riding horses ever since.
She also loved corgis and owned over 30 corgis throughout her life. She was apparently a really good dog trainer. And one of the writer of this article said that when he visited her, she had 9 corgis that were incredibly well controlled, well managed, and obedient.
That's funny. I mean, it's, you know, it's to have 9 dogs in one area. That's a lot, but I guess her palace is like ginormous. So
yeah,
maybe every corgi had like a master bedroom for itself. Uh-huh. Up next we have, the queen actually doesn't need a driver's license to drive.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary. They have like a picture of her behind the wheel as you know, an elderly woman. She's the only person in the UK who does not need to have a driver's license in order to drive on public roads.
So, why wouldn't, like, it's not that hard to get your license.
I don't know. That's just the luxury of being a royalty.
But does that mean that like William and Harry and all of them don't need the license either? Because I saw a video of, you know, their cars rushing to the palace when
really
the end was near. So I hope they have their license because they were driving really fast.
Yeah, well, hopefully they have car insurance.
And they were actually driving. I heard that they were driving themselves to the palace, which doesn't usually happen. Usually have a driver, but it was such urgent news that they had to drive themselves.
So no.
Let's hope they had their license but they made it, luckily.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. She studied constitutional history and law. After her father became king in 1936, she began studying constitutional history and law. And she also studied French, German, and music when she was educated at home.
Wow, that's a lot of education right there.
Mm-hmm.
She, as you mentioned earlier, she studied French. She actually continued her education to be able to speak French fluently. And she basically likely learned, the queen was likely to have learned French as a small child from her tutor. And then whenever she's visiting France, she would also speak the language. So that's pretty cool.
She was better traveled than any British monarch before her. According to the royal family's website, she traveled more than any monarch before her. She made over 150 visits during her reign.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And now we have, she volunteered as a truck driver during World War II. Before she became Queen Elizabeth, Princess Elizabeth volunteered as a truck driver and a mechanic during World War II. This made her the first female member of the royal family to serve in the military.
Wow.
Yeah.
She also carried out more than 21,000 engagements throughout her life. So she had a lot of events that she attended.
Yeah, now that is an event planner right there.
Well, or, she didn't plan the event. She just attended.
Attender, yeah. Event attender. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's funny. Up next, we have the Queen has sat for over 200 official portraits over her lifetime. And the first one that was ever taken of her was in 1933 when she was just 7 years old.
Wow. She made her first radio broadcast when she was 14 years old. She spoke about children being evacuated. Here's a quote from what she said. "I can truthfully say to you all that we children at home are full of cheerfulness and courage. We are trying to do all we can to help our gallant sailors, soldiers, and airmen. We are trying to bear our own share of the danger and sadness of war."
Yes.
But she was better known for her radio and television broadcasts, but yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, the podcaster before it was podcasting.
Well, radio, yeah.
Yeah. up next we have, she's traveled to more than 100 countries. She's traveled to more than 100 countries during her reign. She's been to Canada 22 times, which is the most, and then France 13 times, which is the most in Europe. So, wow, that's a lot of different countries.
Her first Christmas broadcast was in 1952. She said Christmas message live on the radio from her study in her home.
Yes. And then lastly, we have the Queen opened the Sydney Opera House, which, you know, it's been around for a while. But, you know, the Queen has lived a long life. It was the Sydney Opera House opened on the 20th of December in 1973.
Yeah.
So those are just some.
I didn't know any of these facts about her. So.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just, oh, it's the Queen. But she seems to have done a lot.
Well, obviously, yeah. She's 96 years old as a queen for 70 years.
Yes,
makes sense.
Lots of things to do, lots of responsibilities, lots of the world to see.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have for this week, but hope you have a great week and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.